All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects. Of course, we hope you had a wonderful weekend. Got yourself just entrenched and drenched in sports and other things, and now you're ready to roll on another week in the big city, and you're taking us along for the ride. Nick is here, Barry's here, I'm here. What's up, fellas?
What up, what up, what up?
What up?
All good? All good in the neighborhood? We had homework?
Are you really? You sons of bitches. Right what? Out the chute.
What?
I'm looking at the Nick and Joel didn't watch.
We needed more time.
Yeah. And a warning.
Bitch, we gave you an extra weekend.
Didn't I shoot you like a text requesting a
extension? Shoot both of you a text on Friday saying, guys, don't forget to watch The Highwaymen this weekend?
Did anybody respond to it?
Did I not shoot you?
I didn't either.
So that technically there was no confirmation.
Right.
Is what we're saying.
Okay. You know what? This you guys,
but
I just want the listeners
this,
to
Barry.
Know. No, there's nothing you guys
Nick,
can say.
Nick, I think you're with me on this. I just think the attention to detail, though, in the period piece to make sure that, like, when they went into certain portions of the town,
right,
that the product placement was
so you did watch it,
yeah.
Oh, you did, okay.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about the
Talk about when Woody Harrelson was in the room with the third guy with Bonnie and Clyde's dad's house.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he take the follicles off the brush,
huh?
Remember, they were searching for him. No, I didn't, because he knows it, too, because we both watched it.
Oh, you did watch it?
Yeah, we just wanted to see.
You
because that's because Friday, you acted like you watched it, you didn't.
No, it was like Thursday. But,
whatever.
Oh, I was going to be so angry. I was like, you guys already killed the movie club, and we didn't. I don't even remember the follicles thing. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it was weird, and Nick and I wanted answers, and we didn't get them.
I don't remember that. No, that's the problem, is I watched it so long ago, I'm not going to remember what we talked about.
Job well done, though, by Netflix. I know Ike was one of the listeners that didn't like it.
He didn't like it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty good movie. Now, if you didn't know the story or if you're not intrigued by the story, I can see why.
What I like.
Maybe it dragged for some people, but I liked it. I thought it was a good movie.
I like the ending when you got the real pictures and then the real characters next
That's
to
always these. Cool.
That was fantastic because the fact that it was a real true life story makes it better.
What Ike didn't like about the movie, and if you're wondering what the hell we're talking about. We're trying to get the, somebody suggested we do a movie like a book club, like a movie club.
Movie madness.
Yeah, so you guys can watch the movie that we all watch and we can talk about it on the show. So the homework over the weekend was to watch The Highwaymen. And Ike didn't like it because he said they didn't show Bonnie and Clyde. And I said, the movie's not called Bonnie and Clyde. The movie's called The Highwaymen. It's about those two guys and their quest to find Bonnie and Clyde and capture or kill them. It's not about Bonnie and Clyde, so you didn't need to see their faces. This wasn't about them.
But you did see them. But what I made
at the very end,
the point that I made to Nick was, just because we know the story, and as you get into the movie, you realize they had a whole following, like a cult following, like they were a big deal, that people were sympathetic to what they were doing, like they were like Robin Hoods, and all you ever saw them do was shoot cops. If you would have seen them do some of the other things that endeared them to so many people, it maybe would have made more sense if people, you know, don't know the story.
Absolutely.
But other than that, I was good with it.
Yeah, it's weird how the public looked at them as heroes.
Yeah.
Right. And I think for Ike, not that I'm picking on him, but there's been several documentaries and movies on Bonnie and Clyde.
Uh-huh.
If you just watch one of them.
Jay-Z,
that
Beyonce.
Shows more about that shows more about
that
Clyde and Bonnie and Clyde. I think you'd appreciate this one more. But yeah, that's the movie wasn't necessarily about the lifestyle. It was about the lifestyle of Bonnie and Clyde, but it was more about, you know, Frank Hamer coming back out of retirement and hunting them down, you know. So I thought it was a good movie.
What follicles are you talking about? I don't remember that.
So the one scene when
this scene?
The scene that ends up breaking the case wide open so they can get him, right? Yeah, they break into the third man, the hitman for Bonnie and Clyde's house, his dad's house.
Yes.
Okay? And they go through all the rooms.
Yes.
And in a really bizarre scene, at the end of the scene, Woody's sitting on the edge of the bed by the nightstand, and Costner's talking to him, and he's like, all right, so just put everything back where it was. And he looks over, and Woody takes the hairbrush off the nightstand and just starts picking out follicles. And I'm like, did he have a thing for Bonnie, or why was he doing that?
That is a good question, because there was no DNA back then, so right. It's not like he was getting that for DNA. This is the scene you're talking about right here.
He's doing it right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I wanted to pull up because I don't remember that specifically. That is weird. But I did want to ask, did you guys notice the scene I was talking about in the alley with the Coke bottles?
Is that the one where everybody swarmed around their car?
No, it was pretty early on when they met in the alley. I don't know why that stood out to me, but it was one of those things where when they just met in that alley, and as they're driving away, you see the Coke bottles. I was like, did they need to go to that level of detail and realism? Were you watching for imperfections? Were you watching for things?
No, I was actually into the movie. Everybody else was asleep in my house. I had my headphones on.
Nice.
And I was like, yeah, I mean, I got into the movie. So I was like, I would rewind it if I missed a certain line.
Right.
Because if I didn't understand it clearly, because I didn't want to miss any of the real story of what happened. But I thought, and the other thing that I thought was interesting was, even back in the day, you would think that they would have covered when they brought the car back into town with the two bodies in it. You'd have thought that they would have covered up the car so people couldn't see it. But the fact that not only could people see the bodies in the car, but they were grabbing and touching and that's just creepy.
Yeah, that was really weird. That was there was a lot of those things I think that happened back then that nowadays wouldn't fly. But that was definitely one of those things where why would you parade that through town like that? Wouldn't you do that at a different time or cordon off the streets where you don't let people near it? I don't know. That was weird. I think one of the things I found fascinating about the story about these guys is that, one, the fact that it's based on a true story, but I wonder how much of this travel, how much of this, because my favorite scene was when the two cops got killed and they show up. And they have all those policemen around trying to search the scene. And these two guys walk up and he's got his eraser and he's able to determine exactly what happened with really no.
Yeah. How deep the footprint was. Yeah, how heavy the guy was.
I wonder if that's true. I wonder if that's like that's I feel like that's a lot of Hollywood writing, that maybe they walked up and noticed a thing in real life that the other cops didn't notice. But to be able to place the whole scene and all that.
I thought that was I was looking for those type of imperfections or just how times were different, like the scene where he beat up the gas attendant because he wouldn't reveal that he had just saw Clyde and Bonnie go through Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And then Woody was like, gas prices has got everybody riled up. I'm like, really? I wonder if people were really complaining about gas prices at the time. But hey, the movie did say they were going through like a recession. So maybe, you know, people were complaining about gas prices at the time. But I thought that was pretty cool. There's just everything in that time was just so different.
Yeah. I was more or less thinking about my relationship versus Kevin Costner's when he said he basically told his wife, I'm going to go after it. And she says, and I suppose you're taking my brand new Ford too. I was like, in my house, it wasn't going to be that easy. I can tell you right now. If Lisa wouldn't walk in and go, and you're taking my brand new car too. No, you're not. I'm like, yeah, my car will be fine.
Especially since the woman was the breadwinner.
Yeah.
Like, this dude was famous lawman and everything, but she was rich. He married into her money. So that was her Ford that she obviously bought with her money.
There's a damn truck in the driveway. You could take that.
I don't understand the pig. Do we know why he had a pet pig as a guard dog?
He said
dog?
It was a gift. He explained it right when it happened. That, yeah, so-and-so was a gift. And
yeah, but why keep it? Like, make bacon.
See,
out of it.
And Lisa's pork chops. Lisa's done all this research on everything. It says pigs are one of the smartest animals, and a lot of people.
And they're disgusting.
Oh, she loves them.
Really?
Yeah. First of all, thank God she never wanted one in the house because that wouldn't happen. But she does. She's like, she goes off on how pigs are so intelligent, and that's why people make them pets and they should be treated better. I was like, yeah, but they're like 350 pounds.
Yeah, there's no way that. No. And the slop. Plus,
anything wrapped in bacon is 20 times better.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, everything. I don't even eat bacon. Ask anybody. Filet mignon wrapped in bacon, 20 times better.
Isn't there a Little Caesars pizza in that right now that they wrap the crust in bacon?
Do they?
Know. Yeah.
I guess they brought it for dinner tonight.
I think they brought it back. You can go, you buy it. It's just a Little Caesars. It's like a pan pizza.
Don't Grubhub it, Nick, but you can order it.
Yeah, it's like a pan pizza, but it's wrapped in bacon, the crust. I think I had it once before. Pretty good.
Travel with AJ, everything's wrapped in bacon.
Is it?
Yeah, because he's on
the diet.
The keto, yeah.
So overall, what would you give the movie?
I gave it a thumbs up at the end when they ask you for the survey comments.
You like
that.
It?
Like, I'm not big on that era per se, that back in the day.
Right.
But because it was a true story and everything, and because I liked Costner and Harrelson, I'd give it probably a 7.5.
Okay.
I was going to say the same thing, a 7 or 8.
Yeah.
You know? And I've watched a lot of their documentaries. And growing up in school, they were brought up a lot, you know, in elementary right. school, middle school, for me at least. Their story was brought up a lot. So that's one story I like. So I'm probably going to be biased. But I can see if someone did not watch some of the earlier documentaries, how the fact that they didn't see Bonnie and Clyde a lot would kind of bother them.
Yeah.
But just check out some of the other documentaries or movies.
Yeah. And understand that it's the story of the highwaymen
right.
chasing and trying to capture Bonnie and Clyde and not the story of Bonnie and Clyde.
What are you giving it?
I gave it a 7 as well. I liked it. I thought the writing was really, really good. I mean, some of the things that when you watch a movie and you think, man, that was clever. That means that's good writing. Like when she's like, by the way, there's sandwiches in the fridge when he's getting ready to leave. Like all those kind of little attention to details in the writing itself that lets you know that she knew all along and you didn't even need the nuance of the characters, or they didn't have to come out and just tell you straight away. You could draw your own conclusions based on the dialogue. I thought the writing was really good in the movie. I thought Woody Harrelson and Kevin Costner did a really good job too. There was a lot of good comic relief from Woody Harrelson too
yep.
in the movie between
Very
those
dry,
two guys.
But yeah.
So
but
I'll
give you another one on the writing part
uh-huh.
when you knew that Woody had a problem with some of the killing, but you didn't know why.
Yes.
And then they're playing cards and the window's open and he tells the story. So Costner finally gets it, like what he was talking
yep.
about that didn't sit well with him
yep.
in their past.
Yep. Yeah, it was a lot of good moments like that.
Yeah,
where they've tied it all together, and yeah, I enjoyed it immensely. So if you didn't watch it over the weekend, or
I also
or
like the notion that if you had a clear shot at Clyde and you didn't take it, something was wrong with you, or you were friends with Clyde. That whole notion kind of existed throughout the whole movie. You know, like if you had
yeah. Wuss boy,
you got to give him an opportunity to surrender. There was no opportunity to surrender for this guy. You know, they were going to shoot to kill.
Were you guys, but with that notion, Nick, were you guys not like, what are you doing when Costner said, I'll approach first and I'll tell him to stick
that
him
was
up?
Obviously
I was like,
added in
dude,
there.
You're going to get killed. What are
yeah.
you doing?
Yeah, I wonder. See, that's the kind of stuff where when you watch the movie, you're like, that's good movie writing. I wonder if that's really what happened. Because exactly. it obviously happened on the road. There obviously was an ambush. But we don't know if it's happened the way they wrote it or if it happened a different way, if they just jumped out and started shooting.
Yeah, and the other thing is props to Bonnie and Clyde for back in the day when there wasn't that much thought process going around with all the different kind of things you see now in crime fighting and things. For them to have planned out and thought out all Man. The ways and how they were on the loose for – at large for how long? Like a couple years?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
How many people did they end up killing? Total.
I do not know. The other thing I wanted to know was how long did that ambush actually last? Because you know they died within the first 2.5 seconds.
Had to, man.
And then the last 90% of the shooting, 95% of the shooting was all just unnecessary bullets.
Yeah.
I mean, they just got lit.
They did.
But
they
I think from back lit. In the day, too, the other thing you wanted to do if you're a law enforcement person, because they were the laughing stock for as long as they were on the loose,
uh-huh.
was to send the message that we're going to get you. Sooner or later, we're going to get you. When we do, you don't want to end up like that.
Have you seen the real Bonnie?
Yeah, she... Not.
I didn't find her very attractive.
Not at all.
The real Bonnie? Yeah.
No. Well, I mean, that was back in the day, too. But I wonder if she was really a gimp and all that. That's the only thing about when you have these period pieces is how much is realistic, how much is it Hollywood?
Yeah, didn't
being
they say
Hollywood.
What did they say that he misjudged a turn or something like that?
And they got and in a wreck and it messed up
flame.
Her leg.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting stuff. You know what else is interesting though? Get Upside, because you get cash back. What's more interesting than getting cash back in your wallet? I can't think of anything, guys. Get Upside is a completely free app. I've been telling you about it. More and more of the listeners out there that hear my voice, that have heard me talk about it, are downloading it. You're showing me, you're sending me screenshots, and I enjoy it. Keep sending them to me. When you're saving money, that's a win, and I like hearing about that. And the folks at Get Upside, they're out there to do one thing, and that's get you cash back. It's completely free. But here's what I want you to do. Now, when you download it, it's in iTunes and Google Play Store. Put in promo code Barry. And that's going to get you extra savings on your first fill up of gas, because that's what GetUpside does. It gets you cash back on gas and food. So if you eat out, if you go to Wendy's, Burger King, Popeye's, Cyclone Anaya's, Candelaria's, these places give you cash back. You can get up to 35% depending on where you go and what time and all that. And there's hundreds of restaurants around the city you can do this at. You can get up to 25 cents a gallon at over 500 gas stations. And listen, I've been bragging about it, right? I've been telling you about it, right? Don't just take my word for it. ABC 13 just ran a story on GetUpside and the benefits of using the app. So why are you sitting around not, and you're leaving money at the pump. You're leaving money at the table if you're not using GetUpside. Download GetUpside, put in promo code Barry, and then you're going to start getting that cash back. And look, these companies want your business. That's why they're offering you these cash back savings. So once you get the app, and these deals are only available through GetUpside, by the way. You can't just walk in and be like, hey, Wendy's, give me 35% cash back. It's not going to work like that. So here's what you do. Download GetUpside. Put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. Start getting that cash back in your pocket and thank me later.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number one, 3 hour show, and just getting started. If you're on the go, we appreciate you taking us with you. It's The Usual Suspects, Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio on a Monday. We were talking about we got to come up with a name for it.
Yeah, I was going to say movie club. The usual
our Monday movie
club.
Madness, but we already had Monday movie moments with Trey. But we are doing kind of a movie club, and it's fun. I got my Netflix deal all set up, so I'm in. So you guys should be happy about
it. I am. That's good.
So I'll be peeping other things when I get the chance.
By the way, everyone said everyone was waiting on the rooster. At the beginning of the show.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about that.
Don't be a C, Nick. Don't be a C.
One thing. You had one thing to do. That's it. Only one thing.
Didn't we have a discussion about running a joke way too old, running it to in the ground?
I mean, it was last week. It's not like we're running into the ground the fact that you like heavy Latinas. That's not it's not like that.
Or peanut butter.
That was literally a 2017 thing.
Literally. And people won't let it go.
Nope. Peanut butter?
That was in 2017.
Like, peanut butter wasn't 2017.
No, but it was still, they don't let it go.
Peanut butter was 2018. That's like the last 6 months.
Okay. Man.
Peanut butter was recent. The fat Latinas, we got to let that one go, listeners. We got to let that go.
I think the peanut butter one is pretty
that,
old, too.
We've beat that dead horse. I mean, dude, every day you come in smelling like peanut butter, I'm going to bring it up again.
She ain't dead. She's just big.
A couple people from Twitter talking about the movie. Okay. Stalker Brian said, I didn't like the movie. It felt like it took forever, and then the final fight scene was 10 minutes.
It did drag. Like I said, it did. There were parts that dragged. So, like, if you didn't appreciate the story, I feel like you didn't like this movie.
Really?
I really believe this one required you to really appreciate the story behind Bonnie and Clyde for you to enjoy it.
But it's not a story about Bonnie and Clyde.
It is, though.
It's a story about the two Rangers, former Rangers that were cowboys.
Right.
That are back in the saddle.
Right. But if you didn't really know the backstory and the lifestyle of Bonnie and Clyde, you didn't appreciate what it took for these guys to go and chase them down.
I felt like they painted enough of a picture of the kinds of criminals that Bonnie and Clyde were.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, they continually referenced the newspaper articles and the radio reports when they got breaking news.
That's what they did. They made reference. They didn't show scenes of them acting out how they really were.
And I said that was one of the things I said, but at the same time, when you look at it, it was already 2 hours and 15 minutes. If you want to get that into it, you're looking at a Titanic type film. 3 hours of my time I don't have.
Well, what you needed to do is, like what you said, is go watch a movie about Bonnie and Clyde first. But then they're going to cover that part at the end. But what you got was the story of the guys that caught and killed Bonnie and Clyde, not the story of Bonnie and Clyde. And that's the part that you got to separate from the movie itself.
Yeah.
I get it. I mean, people wanted it to be about Bonnie and Clyde, but that wasn't the point.
Right.
So what you got was a lot more backstory about an old man that lost his ability to shoot, used to be a great shot, can't shoot anymore, the old school detective work and all those things. And then Shirley said, what movie are y'all talking about? We are talking about The Highwayman. That was the assignment over the weekend for the movie club, was to watch The Highwayman and then come back and be able to talk about it or give you 2 cents in. So somebody said, I think Woody was trying to wrap his head around killing a woman during the hairbrush scene. Bonnie and Clyde actually were living there too, so it made it real.
I kind of got that because they did kind of get in depth about the fact that, you know, they had identified that the kid had a shot and never took it.
Yeah.
And then when they had the discussion about it, but it seemed like it went deeper than that. When you take a hair follicle or hair follicle.
Right.
And like you said, there's no DNA evidence back there. I mean, look, think about it. Think about how amazed they were that there was wiretapping. Because they were like, really?
Yeah. Or amazed? The transistor radio or multiband radio or whatever, basically a CB.
Yeah.
They were like, what is that? It's like, yeah, you can't do a dragnet without this. And they were just old school, just a map, and that was it.
Or he said to Costner, do you realize this new Ford actually has a radio that wasn't put in by the dealer that's expensive or anything like that? And Costner's like, don't even.
Oh, that's right.
And they found out about how close they were at one point to capturing
him. Somebody said, I like the part where Costner went out to practice the old school way by trying to shoot bottles. He used the kids to throw the bottles. The kids were working. That also showed back in the day, young boys had to work to help provide for their families. I mean, there was a lot. Like I said, see, like something like that. To me, that was a great part of the story and getting to know the character. But I think for like y'all, you probably maybe thought, well, this is just why it's taking so long. It's moving too slow. Who cares about this old man missing bottles in a field, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's painting the picture of the fact that this is all, he's past his prime.
Yeah, they did a great job of that to show that he was past his prime, but also a great job of giving you bits and pieces and details to paint the picture of how great these guys were in their heyday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that was an important piece that you had to know, that these guys were legends. And the thing that I thought was really interesting at the end was how Woody's character went back into then the law enforcement and stayed for quite a while.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He got back into it. Hey, Barry, how come Rod Ryan can say the P word on the buzz, but you can't say the C word? Yeah, that's a great question.
Depends on which P word, doesn't it?
I mean.
Yeah. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate that warning, because otherwise.
I was about.
My partner would have really put me in a good position.
We'll save that text for the next segment. We're about to go to break. We'll address this in the next segment.
We got a lot of energy on the show today. And I'm telling you right now, if you got energy too, or you're looking for a great energy provider that has a lot of energy, I'm telling about the people from Infuse Energy. They're a locally owned and operated energy company. I made the switch a little less than 2 years ago. Save thousands off my energy bill. You can do the exact same thing, whether you're doing it for your business or for your family. It's a fantastic customer service friendly organization that tries to pinpoint the best deal at the best rate possible and to make sure that they ask as many questions as you're going to ask them so that they can make sure that they know, is it for business? Is it for your home? When do you use energy the most? When do you use it the least? And they tailor make a program just for you. In a lot of cases, it's going to save you, like I said, from my own personal experience, thousands. In the rare occasions that there's another company out there that can beat their rates, they're going to tell you about them because they want to be 100% honest all of the time, not just some of the time when it works out for them, because they want to be like a trusted friend. You may not go with them this time, but you'll come back to them because you'll remember that they were not trying to trick you or pull the wool over your eyes. They were just trying to get you the best energy plan possible. It's fantastic. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back, 100% green energy at your fingertips. Right off the top, if you call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, you mentioned ESPN 97.5, $25 bill credit. You can also check up on them at infuseenergy.com. But the best thing I can tell you is call them, because you're going to get a human being, not an automated system, and they're going to be friendly, they're going to be attentive, and they're going to work as hard as they can to get the best deal possible. It's Infuse Energy, people. Infuse energy into your life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through. Hour number one, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Obviously, our friend of the show and our coworker, Cody Stutes, on top of the world. He just popped in. His Red Raiders, guns up tonight. Big one, NCAA champion. This is weird.
Huh?
I didn't realize with all the history of solid athletics from the state of Texas, right? They said during the game this weekend that Texas Tech was vying to be the second school in the history of universities from the state of Texas to win a national basketball title, joining Texas Western, who upset Kentucky in like the 50s.
Well, yeah, wasn't that the before they became UTEP? They were Texas Western.
Yeah, right,
Western,
and that was
and
the
was
one
the
where
first all black
starting lineup. Right. Yeah. But I would think, obviously, U of H got to two games. They didn't win them. But you would have thought with Texas at one point or another had a team decent enough.
No.
But none of them.
Nope.
That kind of shocked me.
That doesn't really shock me. Because
Stephen A.
No. Last week or the week before, we were discussing the fact that this has never been a basketball state. We talked about Tech had a good run there for a while with Bobby Knight and how U of H had Phi Slamma Jamma. But outside, UT had a nice little, you know, run there, but they were never dominant. They were never national championship, you know, winning or caliber. A&M with a few years with Billy Gillespie. So it doesn't surprise me one bit, but I could. It's good that we could see, you know, that starting to trend in a different direction with Kelvin Sampson now in state and recruiting for U of H. Dizzy now signed with, Buzz, whatever the hell his name is.
Dizzy Gillespie.
Yeah, whatever the hell his
Buzz
name is.
Williams. Buzz Williams. Close enough.
I don't know. Whatever. I every time I heard Buzz
Williams, A&M, yeah.
Every time I heard Buzz, I thought of Dizzy. I don't know why. It's one of those things in your head. You're going to say it no matter what. But yeah, with Buzz out at A&M and Shaka Smart at Texas, and you've got Texas Tech now in the final. It's trending in the right direction for this state, but I still think they have a ways to go. I mean, they got to work on keeping their best players in state.
Yeah, I mean that's part the other of the thing. But I mean, even because I was thinking about, well, you know, you go Texas, the T.J. Ford and the LaMarcus Aldridge teams. You had KD for 1 year at UT. That was, you know, and obviously the Phi Slamma Jamma teams.
Mm-hmm.
They've had really good basketball teams in the state. That's why it just surprised me one of them didn't break through. But obviously a great opportunity for Tech tonight. The games this weekend were fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, they had you kind of glued to your seat. They were compelling games. I know everybody was upset that it, you know, it wasn't Duke or one of the big blue blood schools. A lot of people were upset about that from thinking the ratings would go down. But as long as they're good games, that's what everybody cares about. Although in Houston, they got Butler a couple times. And that was kind of a buzzkill. Butler and Gonzaga didn't exactly fire the folks up.
No.
At least the games were good. And there's a lot of controversy in the Virginia game. And I have a lot of takeaways from this.
Let's discuss.
Yeah. Obviously, the last play, foul. I don't think there's any disputing it.
No question about it. It was the right call.
Yep.
The right call was made. And people were like, oh, you got to eat that whistle. Not if it's a foul. If it's a legitimate foul, you don't eat that whistle. Because now you're going to punish Virginia?
Yeah, and the thing is, he's got it, and I love, at first I was skeptical of Gene Stachatore, because I was like, he's a football guy.
Yeah,
but the fact that he knows his stuff, and he went from point A to point B and showed you he had to have room to land and the contact, loved everything that he did. But at the same time, then after the fact, and much later after the fact, they went to the double dribble call.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something right now, and I saw it again this morning, and then I heard Stephen A. and Jay Williams talking about it, and I told you during a break, nothing pissed me off more to tell me that everybody was questioning if you really knew basketball or not, if you didn't think that was double dribble. Jay Williams was like, I was screaming at my TV because Max Kellerman honestly said, I had no idea at the time it was double dribble. No. Jay Williams is like, well, you take me to a boxing match so I can learn boxing. I'll take you to a Nets game because I'm going to teach you about basketball because I was screaming. And Stephen A. should have just let it go. And Stephen A. was like, I mean, Mac, you're my boy, Max, but you should have known that. I was yelling at my TV, too. I was like, you're so full of it. Even Barkley said him and Kenny and Clark Kellogg all at the time had
no clue. Nobody. Barkley, yeah. I'm glad you brought it up because somebody had asked me about that because we were arguing about that last call at the 3-point line with Virginia, and I was like, that's a foul. There's a part about letting players play, but there's also calling the game and eating your whistle and it not being fair to a team that was fouled. If that's a legitimate foul, and it was, then you have to make that call. The kid still has to make the free throws. Three, right. No bigger free throws in his life is he going to have to make than those three. So, like, the pressure is still on this young man to make those three. How big was that? But to come to say that, I knew that. If you're listening to another show, if you're watching TV, if you're on the internet, anyone that tells you they knew that was a double dribble is a liar. They're just a bald-faced liar.
Unless you're like an official that's been reffing for a long time and you read every little byline of every rule, you might know it.
Most people didn't catch on to that because you think you see that a lot of times in basketball where a guy will lose the handle, go get it back, and keep going. And so you assume that that was it. And, you know, I mean, you don't assume whether it was tipped or not or whatever. But Barkley came on and said, like you said, everybody on the panel was like, yep, totally missed that. Totally missed that was a double dribble. So anybody out there, whether it's this station or down the dial on the AM side, if they're telling you that they knew, they're a liar. They're an absolute liar. Nationally, too. Stephen A. Smith, no way he knew that. No way. He's lying.
And by the way, Stephen A. followed that up with a discussion, which we may or may not get to later on, about Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster. And referred to him as Juju Smith. So when you're still making mistakes like that, don't tell me you knew that call and that rule. Because look, it was a great game, but you could go back. There were several calls that could go either way. That's the beauty of having games called by human beings. Mm-hmm. There's going to be calls that could go either way. There's going to be calls that were missed or screwed up. But the bottom line was it was a great game. And if you're Auburn, the one thing that I kept saying was, you didn't learn your lesson when you were playing New Mexico State and you fouled the guy, and luckily he didn't make all three.
Right.
Don't you still win the game if you just hand up and defend him instead of not giving him space to come down?
I tell you, it's got to be heartbreaking. And by the way, props to Chuck for taking the high road.
And I'm going to tell y'all.
Could not have handled it better than the way he handled it on TV.
But I'm going to tell you, Barry, and knowing him as long as I have, when you looked at his facial expressions without him even saying a word, you have no idea how hard that hit him.
He said he was going to cry. He's like, I'm about to cry on TV.
He was close.
Yeah, I could see that.
That was a big, big deal.
Well, I mean, you think about it.
The other thing was crazy was because they kept showing people in the crowd. Bo Jackson is sitting right there behind the bench, and they're showing somebody's wife or mom. And I'm going, people, just pan just a little bit right. Bo Jackson, by the way, one of the most famous Auburn alums ever.
How about Auburn fan celebrating on the missed shot, on the missed three-pointer in the corner? One guy dumps beer on himself and starts going, and he's like, suck it, bitches. We're on to the championship. Everyone can kiss my ass. What? You all suck. And then they're like, wow, what? Huh? They went on campus. They went and started toilet papering whatever stupid tree they have.
The famous trees, yeah.
Oh, my God. That is, to me, that's the one shining moment. That's the one shining moment. That's the best part of this whole March Madness is premature celebration.
I saw this. You know the first thing I thought about? And this is for you two guys for being in the city as long as you have. This reminded me of the old Clutch City commercial where the guy's on the ledge with an anvil and he's listening to Gene Peterson call the Rockets game. And he's like, Rockets down 1, 4 seconds, 3 seconds, 2 seconds. He gets the shot off. Oh, he misses, and the Rockets are going to lose. And the guy's like, I can't take it anymore. And he throws the anvil, and it's going to pull him off the ledge. He's going to die. And right as the anvil's on the way down, Gino goes, but wait, he was fouled. And the guy's like, and that's it? It's like, that's what I was thinking about. That's premature great. Celebration. Yeah. And y'all should have just taken it easy for a second.
Oh, boy. You got to let that play out a little bit. I get that you're excited, but, oh, God.
Isn't college basketball great, though?
I mean.
Because, again, you think about
pretty this. Great moments.
This weekend. If this tournament was the NFL, the Patriots would be knee deep in it. There wouldn't be an upset like that. If this was the NBA, the Spurs would be all over it. Yeah. They got dynasties galore. But when you think about what we just talked about in terms of blue blood programs and Kentucky's and Duke's and Carolina's and stuff, but when it comes down to actually winning the whole thing, it is really, really hard.
Yeah.
And the games are really good.
Yeah. I mean, there was just no doubt that this was the Duke North Carolina championship. That's what we were headed for. There was just no doubt in anyone's mind.
Yeah, would have been Gonzaga because they were a one seed, but, you know, kudos to Virginia for being the only one seed to stick it through.
Yeah. And I think everyone going in said that they were the weakest one seed.
You're
they don't deserve
right.
to be a one
and
seed.
And they lost last year to a 16 seed, the first time ever. So the whole hype around Virginia was watch them choke this thing out because they're not going to do anything at all. The fact that they're there, and but the way they got there, they've had some lucky breaks.
Yeah.
Think about the game winner that they had to have.
Right.
You know, on a fluke tip out. Just to get it to overtime to win that game. They've had some close calls.
That kid had to make all three of those free throws to avoid overtime, and boy.
And now their big concern is the over-under in this game is going to be as low as they've ever seen in a title game.
I'm not expecting a fun game.
It's going to be a grind.
It's going to be probably one I turn off at the half if it's 20-19.
Oh, and I'll watch it.
Oh, well, that's good. You can come and talk about it.
Because I got to be up to speed on double dribble calls off the back of the heel that I know.
I'm telling you guys right now, if they have combined for less than...
If it's 20-18 at the half, it's going to be hard to watch.
If they've combined for less than 45 points after the first half, I'm not watching the second half. I'm going to tell you right now. If there's some miracle finish, I'll catch it on SportsCenter and we can talk about it. I'm not watching some boring ass grinded out college basketball.
Just don't be texting us a movie at halftime because I ain't watching it tonight. I'm just letting you know.
I'll watch Astros Yankees instead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and make sure you check your local listing. I tweeted them out, but there's funky start times for all three of the Yankees games because of national TV. It's like 6:10 tonight, and then it's a regular, I think it's 7:30 tomorrow night, and then 6:45 on Wednesday night, but that's all for national. And
it's 6 o'clock on ESPN tonight.
Yeah. So if you're going to check, peep the Astros in between, be aware of the early start times.
Seven tomorrow and 6:40 on Wednesday.
That's what I thought.
Yep.
Okay. So we're going to continue to roll on. Something you want to talk about? Something on your mind you want to get off your chest? NCAA, Astros, Rockets. We got plenty more to get to, but if there's something you want to interject, we're here for you. HR&P Lister Line, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, the executive producer list is stacking up and racking up by the day with people making suggestions about the show. We appreciate your input. We'll ask for it if we need it. In the meantime, we had fun with our movie. And before we get off of NCAA, let's just go around the table real quick. Who we got tonight?
Yankees.
No.
Homer. Homer pick. Goes, Texas Tech, goes, baby. No.
I'm with you, too.
I see a lot of people picking Tech after what they did to Michigan State.
Right?
I mean, Virginia barely escaping Auburn, getting, if you want to say they got lucky, they did get the benefit of a no-call double dribble by the rule book. And shut up if you said you knew it. Because if not, the guy heaves the half-court shot and misses. That's ball game. That doesn't happen. They get the shot in the corner. That's a foul. He makes three free throws. They got lucky beating Auburn.
Go back a game, same thing.
Yeah, you're right. That Tech game, I mean, it was a grind and it was an ugly game, and I didn't even finish watching it because it was so ugly. But I think if you watch the last couple games, your eyes tell you Tech, but I'm still going to go Virginia.
The big thing, and I said this to you guys last time going into the weekend too, the big thing is if they can make their threes, because the kid made three free throws, but he has been on a awful slump shooting threes. Mm-hmm. And so the key is going to be from a tempo standpoint, because you got the two kids from Tech that can really stroke the three. And if they can get going, they start making some threes, because defensively they're so long and they're so athletic, they can give a whole lot. And remember now, they're deeper than Virginia. Virginia maybe goes seven deep. So they have a whole lot to gain by making threes if you're Tech. But if you're not making shots, and you saw their best player struggle for three quarters of that game until they went to him down the stretch, if you're not making shots and Virginia is, this could be a blowout and be over quick.
By the way, Virginia's coach, Bennett, really classy at the end of that game when he was being interviewed. And they asked him about the game and everything. He's like, well, you know, I really hope that was a foul. And you need to say no more than that, but he just said, I really hope that that was a foul because I think he doesn't want to win that way either.
You're right. I
thought that that was a very classy move on his part to point that out and say, I hope that they didn't lose on a bad call. It's essentially what he's saying. Or I hope we didn't win on a bad call.
And on that exact...
Classy move.
On that exact same topic and theme, Bruce Pearl deserves a lot of credit too because they went to him after the game and they want to know what he thought about the calls. And he said, we're going to stay classy at Auburn. We're going to say that that one call wasn't going to decide the game one way or another. Yeah. He said, I was already thinking about, you know, where I could have done better, where we could have done better, sure, because it's not going to get down to that. And then they had him on this morning. They asked him again, and he goes, fellas, I just got to be honest. The best thing we all can do is just move on.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm already talking about recruits for next year and the guys that are coming back, what they need to do. And as painful as it was, we just need to move on. And I give Bruce Pearl a lot of credit.
I mean, and when you think about it, and actually I heard Jeff Blum say this yesterday at the end of the Astros game, but because there was some controversy on balls and strikes, right, and Altuve got the walk-off, right, walk. But one four-pitch sequence isn't going to determine an entire game. There are missed opportunities throughout, right, the game. Auburn went 21 of 55. Guess what? If they go 22 of 55, they win the game. They went 9 of 31 from three-point range. If they go 10, they win the game. So there's, you know, they're 11 of 14. They missed three free throws. If you make one, you go to overtime. You make two, you win the game. So there's opportunities. You can't just say that that's the only reason. That was an actual foul. And there was a blown call, yeah, with a double dribble. But how many times do you miss a carry or a double dribble or an illegal pick or an illegal screen or those things? I mean, that's not a good enough excuse.
Yeah, and they obviously want him to say, well, if that didn't happen, we would have won. And that's
sure.
That's the last thing Coach Bruce wants to say. So, again, props to him. Look, that's all you can do. If you blame it on that one call, everybody else is going to bring up all the other mistakes, like you mentioned, the free throws, yeah, and all the other things that they could have done better and win this game. So that's the only thing you can do is move on. I mean, they're obviously looking for that controversial answer. Good job by Coach Bruce by not doing that.
It's a little bit different to me when you look at that, like the Saints game with the no call and the, yeah, pass interference. That directly impacted and affected the outcome of the game.
Right.
That had a lot more to do with it than a missed call when there are going to be missed calls in a basketball game and opportunities. To me, it's a lot different.
But, I mean, I think the bigger thing is that last call in the corner could have affected the end of the game one way or the other.
If you don't call it.
Right, if you don't call it. But at the same time, look, I mean, we go back to the competition committee in the game that you're bringing up with the Saints and the Rams too, and that's what, when you leave the door open and say, sure, first glance, that play cost the Saints the game. But then when you go back as a competition committee and say, well, we also, in looking at the tape, realized that we missed one on the Saints that would have been a touchdown for the Rams that would have changed this and changed that. It's the human element.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's part of sports. It's part of what it is. So
yeah. The difference is, though, in this basketball game is if the call was there, and you made the right call on that foul in the corner. Like, that was the correct call. Right. Gene, was it Tessitore?
I thought it was, it's like Statutor or something.
Oh, whatever.
Like that.
Whatever the hell his name is. Referee Gene.
Starator, I think.
Starator. Yeah. He's the one that showed the point A to point B and the jumping into him and allowing him to land and all those things like you mentioned earlier. So, if you don't make that call, then you're... Auburn got away with one, and Virginia's like, yo, that's an obvious... Now Virginia is the Saints. That's an obvious foul that you just ate your whistle on, and it cost us the game. So, there's, to me, that double dribble didn't... That's not the same. Maybe I'm just being nearsighted on that, but I don't think it's the same thing.
You know, and props to both teams. Because yeah. Auburn was down double digits. To come back and get it to that point... Impressive. The kid making all the threes in the corner, impressive. And they didn't quit. And that's, again, more the beauty of the game in college basketball. So I just hope it's a good game tonight. I hope that the season ends after two close games in the Final Four and all these close games in the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
End it on the right note and be happy that the season went well.
Arian's Fetus on Twitter said, I felt like Auburn fan when I thought we were going to get Teddy Bridgewater. And then the pick was traded.
Fair yeah. enough. Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
He's talking about the Texans, obviously.
Yeah. And you start celebrating. You're like, yeah, we got Teddy. What?
I felt
no, but I threw the toilet paper and poured beer on my head.
Yeah, I felt like that when they thought they were going to get a great receiver or running back to start the second round, and they drafted Xavier Sulafilo.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
All right, one in the books, two to go. Still 2 hours of the big show. If you want to join us, come on aboard. 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with hour number two right here on ESPN 97.5.